Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Francotyp Postalia Holding AG conference call regarding the financial results for the first half 2017. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Sabina Prüser.
A very warm welcome also from our side to our conference call regarding the first half year 2017. I am Sabina Prüser, Vice President, Investor Relations and Public Relations of the Francotyp Postalia. Also with me are Rüdiger Andreas Günther, CEO of the company, and Sven Meisel, CDO of SP. The management board will guide you through the presentation of our half-yearly results. This will take approximately 20 minutes. Following the presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. For now, I will take over the floor to Mr. Günther. Mr. Günther.
Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to have you on the line. My colleague, Thomas Grethe, is on vacation, so today I'm alone with my other colleagues, Sven Meisel. If you look on the first six months, we can state we are right on track. We have revenues of 104 million, which is an increase of 4%. In the core business, we also increased by 2.4%. This is a very nice development, especially compared to our competition. We will talk later a little bit about this. So also there, we are fully implementing our strategy as planned. As planned also, we need time. We discussed this in our previous meetings. 2017 and 2018 will be clearly transition periods where we will move the company into the future. We realize these effects as recorded in the income statement. Please keep in mind that in the EBITDA of 12.7 million, we have costs for ACT from 1.7 million. And additionally, we had to cope with the decline of our profitability in mail business and faced also with an unexpected event, which my colleague Sven will later explain you, which burdens us with a one-off effect of 0.5 million. Both facts have led us to speed up the planned transformation of the mail service business. As you know, this is a rather low-margin business, and in our ad strategy, we had a change in reorganization in our plan. But these events in Q2 helped us to speed up these actions. In the last quarters, as you know, we focused mainly on the core business. Nevertheless, we were always aware that, especially in mail service, we have quite a lot of potentials to improve, not to say that the risk of the low-margin business needs to be changed. Against this background of the recent development, ladies and gentlemen, we gave immediately priority to the relaunch of the mail services, but later more details to this. If we then look at the cash flow, adjusted free cash flow of 6.7 million, please keep in mind that this effect is including EBITDA decline of 1.9 million. So we still record a rather strong cash flow, including all the effects, which we will talk later about it and which I just mentioned. If you follow me on page 3, we realized a revenue growth in the franking machine business of nicely 2.4%. Keep in mind that our core attack areas of competition is US and France. This is the heart of our competition. In France, as you know, we were very, very small. In the US, the biggest market, we have we see and we feel quite a potential. There we are doing good. Keep in mind that we are currently in 17 and 18 only implementing our strategy, and we already can talk about some nice developments as seen on page 3 also. On page 4, this is basically giving a little background of what I just explained. Our market share is increasing in the US to 6.5%. We have a very successful launch of our PostSpace One, several events following to support this business, and we have to realize that we are doing good, but also competition is taking notice of what we are doing, wondering what's happening in France and the US and also other parts of the world. So the challenge will be not smaller, but it will be bigger, but we still feel that with the effects which we will have later in our ACT strategy, we don't have to be afraid. If you look on page 5, these are statistics which are speaking for themselves. Following the successful quarters in the previous year, we continue also in the first half to be ahead. Some of our one of our competitors hasn't published yet, but the one who has published, you're all aware of this, is following the trend which we started in 16 nicely, recording 2% growth, excluding currency effects. We record 3% growth, while competition DUI is doing in the franking machine business, showing negative effects, and on a group level, we record 4%, while competition is recording 1, respectively, including currency effects, minus 1%. Let's switch over to page 6, and I hand over to my colleague Sven, and we will hear us later.
Thanks, Rüdiger. Ladies and gentlemen, also from my side, very warm welcome to our presentation of the half-year results 2017. My name is Sven Meise, and I'm the Chief Digital Officer of Frankotype Australia. Let's first focus on the software business. What we see in the software business, or what we saw in the first half year, is that we see a slight decline in the revenue due to the fact that we lost one of our major customers. But what we, on the other hand, we can say profitability is still stable in that segment, and we see still a good future in the next month and half year. When we look on the mail services, Rüdiger pointed already out, we had some effects and events there, which we didn't expect it. The positive thing is that the revenue grows by almost 10% in this segment, basically because of the increased demand for our franking services, which is a positive development, but on the other hand, we have also an increase on purchased services due to the higher demand in postages. The negative effect we have in the profitability and revenue is basically that due to the postage discount reduction of Deutsche Post AG at the beginning of this year, where the discount was reduced by 1%, we see a negative effect in revenue and profitability by 0.5 million euro. That was planned and known, but it was for us also a reason that we conducted an intense operational review because we saw this decrease in the profitability. So we conducted this review in the second quarter of this year, and found some unexpected or disclosed some unexpected events, which we basically we saw some lags in process quality, process stability, and in the level of automation. In this, as you all know, it's Rüdiger pointed that out already. It's low margin business, it's a high volume business, and it's also time critical business. So we had that findings, and based on the findings, what we also disclosed is that we had some this lag led to negligent misconduct in some cases, and to some irregularities, which will result in a reclaim of already granted postage discounts, and we have that reflected this reclaims already in the half year results of this year. To make one thing clear here, that didn't affect our customers. It has nothing to do with our customers, so we at the end there was no effect on our customer base. We didn't lost any customer, and we are positive in the further development of revenues and customer base in that segment. As a result of these findings and in the sense of the ACT strategy, we decided as a board to bring forward the for next year planned relaunch of the mail service business. We bring that forward to this year already, so we started already implementing countermeasures, and we see that all here in the board and in the management team in Berlin at one of our top priorities. And we're working hard to get back the mail services on track as soon as possible. On the next slide, I would like to introduce you some of the countermeasures we have already put in place. So as I described, we strengthened our management team in the mail service segment. We brought in additional competence and capacities, and we with a strong headquarters support. So a lot of people from Berlin now are supporting the local management team. We are working on enhancing our process quality and stability to avoid the described irregularities. And on the same time, we are working on an improvement of the automation level to avoid manual interfaces, which we still have in this business, and we have some media breaks. And we do that closely together with our partner Deutsche Post. And this will improve significantly in the next weeks, and there will be a major change next year. So we are sure that this will, especially when we talk about the level of automation, this will be a significant improvement in the next month. We have set up a new mail service center in Dortmund, close to Dortmund, to reduce our logistics costs and to be more efficient and to be able to realize higher postage discounts. We will implement continuous improvement processes based on new KPIs, new monitoring systems. And last but not least, we will speed up with the integration of mail services and software, especially when we talk about the combination of logistics services and inbound services as we described or as we introduced in our when we launched our ACT strategy. Let me summarize. Yes, we are facing some challenges here, but we can deal with that challenges. We're working hard on that, and we are sure that we can bring back mail services shortly back on track. And I'm really positive in the spirit we see here in the team and how we can face with this challenges. So that's from my side. Let me hand over back to Rüdiger, who will guide you through the rest of the presentation.
Let's switch over to page 8. There we have a separation of recurring revenues and non-recurring revenues. Remember that a big part of our business model is recurring revenues of nearly 80%, which is very nice and stable business. There we see an increase in the non-recurring revenues of more than 9%. Keep in mind that this is the basis for recurring business of the future, which is very nice, and we record nearly 3% recurring revenues. Looking at the recurring business revenues, we have some challenges in service and consumer business, which is also a focus in our ACT initiatives. We have a decline in service revenues of nearly 10%. This, however, is due to missing rate changes, which we had in the comparable year before. And also, second reason, less ad hoc service calls from our customers due to the quality of our post-base machines. Let's go over to the income statement, page number 9. We've talked about this already quite in detail. We have revenues increase of 4%. We have an EBITDA declined, nominated of to 12.7 million. These are effects, once again, of expenses of ACT, 1.7 million, and one-off of the mail system. Therefore, the adjusted EBITDA is 14.9, which is still a very solid number. Depreciation increased to 9.8 million. Keep in mind that over the past years, we rightly invested in products, which helped us to gain market share now with our X strategy also, and leaving an EBIT of 2.1 million. If you adjust this EBIT number, you have a number of 5.1 million compared to 6.7 the year before. If you evaluate this income statement, please keep in mind that, as always, we have a seasonal effect. Q2 is always weaker than Q1. We have a second missing of a strong revenue increase, which I mentioned before, the rate change. We have a digested decrease in profit in profitability in mail services, which Sven explained to you, and we have an increase on our as planned and as discussed in our ACT expenses, and we have an increase in depreciation. Let's follow me on page 10. There we have a chart which is explaining this once again. If you look at the EBITDA, reported EBITDA in the first half of 2017 of 12.7 million. If you add our ACT initiatives, our ACT expenses, and one of the mail services, we record an adjusted EBITDA of 4.9 million, which we just talked about. And if we follow then until the EBIT, that we have an increase in depreciation of 1.5 million, leaving an adjusted EBIT of 5.1 million. So keep also in mind when we're talking about depreciation and amortization to revenues that we always said this will level out in the year 2018. Let's look at the cash flow. Cash flow from operating activities decreased due to lower EBITDA. Investing activities are also slightly decreased to minus 8 million. Keep also in mind we have an acquisition of a customer list there. Included, leaving us with a reported cash flow of 4 million compared to 6.3 million before. If we adjust the cash flow, we have, in spite of a decrease in EBITDA, quite a solid number of 6.7 million compared to 7.6 million before. Let's go over to page 12. There we have a transition explained also once again, coming from the operating cash flow of 12 million. We have to keep in mind investments of finance lease of 1.3 million. The investing cash flow is influenced by the acquisition of a customer list, of a dealer acquisition, which we did, as you keep in mind, leaving us with an adjusted cash flow of 6.7 million. Including the investment also in lease assets, which increased. This is part of our business, also part of our strategy, and 1.4 million, as mentioned, customer list. If we go page 13, we feel we are not happy with the reported EBITDA decline. But I think there are reasons which are included in our X-strategy, except the one-offs of our mail business, which was explained by Sven, and which effect will help us to even speed up the reformation and the re-engineering of this business, which from the beginning was on our list, but on a later agenda point. Now we will speed up there, and we also see no reason, looking at the market, at the implementation of our strategy, to change our strategy, and also look at our strategy. Just the opposite. We feel safe. We feel confirmed that we are on the right track, and that our growing business will continue also on the rest of the year. If we then talk about our guidance, we feel good that we will speed up in the upcoming quarter and maintain our guidance for 2017. Looking at revenues and EBITDA and also cash flow, we feel good that we stick to these points. Sven and myself are happy to take your questions now and to follow up on your thoughts. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and star on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to cancel your question, press 9 star again. Please press 9 star now to state your question. And the first question comes from Mr. Thomas Schiesler. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my question. Actually, there are two in the first draw. The first is on your guidance. You reiterated your guidance, which is published qualitatively and is based on a fixed on the constant currencies. But unfortunately, the British pound and the US dollar devaluated. So shall we, what is your thought on the FX front, and what will be the impact for your guidance? So will the reported figures will be below the reported figures for 2017 will be below the 16 reported figures because of FX effects. This is the first question on the guidance, and the second is
You're not very clear, Mr. Schissel. You're not very, very clear. You were talking about the effects of currency effects on our guidance, right? That was your question. Well, especially for this reason, we maintained our guidance from the beginning, and we announced our guidance without currency effects. The currency effect currently on our income statement, as you've seen, are slightly negative. They were not as big as we could have thought. Of course, we are doing hedging mechanism, but we can't hedge, you know, all along against the market. So we will, we'll have effect, and the pressure on our income statement will be, of course, higher if these effects will continue or even worsen. But as you see, in the first 6 months, we are doing not bad compared to what we experience currently in the market, right? Dollar, pound. And as you know, the US and also the British pound are markets in which we are very vivid around, wandering around. So yes, we have an effect. Yes, we will have an effect. It will be a negative effect, of course. As you see in the first six months, we seem to have it quite under control. Second question?
Yeah, second question is on the ACT program. In the first quarter, you reported on 0.6 million costs for the ACT program, and now you have 1.7 million on ACT. Is this ACT program accelerating its effect or a negative effect for the P&L, so shall we figure in even higher ACT costs in the second half of the year?
Part of these ACT initiatives is human resources, personal. We staff, for example, our sales organization. This effect will continue. Part of is, I would say, these are one of the effects. So you can expect not a proportionally increase over the rest of the year. You can not expect a proportionally increase. I don't know whether you've heard. Okay?
Okay. And on the other hand, the depreciations are coming out or resulting out of the ACT investments. Will increase proportionally, or will slow the delta will slow down in H2?
From Mr. Schiesel, from ACT, there are now limited depreciation because these are effects which are for example invested in previous years. I would say even fortunately. That's why we say, according to our revenues, we will level out the depreciation to revenues in 18. You know, so there will be effects, but they will level out with the increase of revenues by the year 2018.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for answering the question.
Welcome.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Mark Webb from Quaero. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning. A question along the same lines, actually, and in terms of your guidance. You're guiding on EBITDA, but you're a capital-intensive business and becoming ever more capital-intensive as your market share increases in the U.S. Should you, I mean, so this is a question and an observation, should you not be communicating on EBIT rather than EBITDA and giving your guidance on EBIT rather than EBITDA?
That's why we, I mean, that's a valid point. When you look at our sheet and our presentation, you see that we are also talking quite intensely about EBIT. This is a discussion which we have, and it's a valid point. I don't want to give you an answer to this yet, but thanks for your remark. We will continue discussing this, how we will cope with your request next year.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Mr. Roland Kühnen from Value Holding. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning. Also from my side, some questions. First one is an additional question on the guidance. It is clear that the EBITDA guidance is not adjusted, it's a reported figure, is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And then one remark to your adjustments in EBITDA, just for clarification, you also adjust the 1 million additional personal costs, but I think that are not really one-offs, so because they will burn also the P&L next year. And also there were some 0.5 million reversals of provisions in your half-year report, which you didn't adjust. So to be fair, I guess you had to adjust also this 0.5 million. But at the end of the day, you could adjust everything because there was also a delta in your activated R&D costs minus the depreciation that burdened the result in 2017 against 2016. So this is just a remark from my side. The next question is on the software business. You talked about the loss of one customer. Could you give, please, a bit more insight? What is the sales volume with this customer? And what is the reason behind the loss of the customer?
Mr. Kühn, just let just a short remark to your first comment. Absolutely right. Where to stop and where to end? Why we did mention these HR expenses is because we were just hiring these people and they were in the, you know, they are onboarding. They are not productive from the first minute. That's the only remark. but you could also do it differently and including your other comments. Yes, it levels out. It could have even be a little bit better. I appreciate your comments there. You're right.
And Mr. Kühn, I will answer the question regarding the software services. So that customer was one of our customers from the beginning, and it's an healthcare insurance company. Unfortunately, that company was acquired or merged last year with a bigger insurance company, and all processes and systems were adapted to the bigger partner in this merger, so we just lost the customer because of that merger. We didn't lose the customer, and that was pointed out by the customer in several meetings that they didn't took pricing or quality or whatever into consideration. It was just that they had this bigger partner who was producing their letters basically by themselves, so they have their own outbound service center. That's the reason why we lost the customer.
And the sales volume behind this also for the second half of the year will burn your P&L?
Yeah, basically, since this was one of our biggest customers, we have to catch up. We are confident that we can close that gap as much as possible, but I'm not sure if we can close it by 100%.
Okay, thanks. And then, of course, some questions for the mail service business. First question, the profitability of Resort is switch, and what is your target margin in this business after you initiated and doing all the things you explained to us?
No, as you know, Mr. Kuhn, from the past, we do not report that profitability on company level. We know it's a one-digit EBITDA margin. That's something I can tell you. And we, as I said, we work on that to get back on track like in the previous years. Basically more can I cannot disclose here.
Then maybe an additional question on your impairment test you did in Freesort. What is your new calculated value for this company? And what are the main drivers you changed in your valuation process?
As you know, that impairment, we had to do this impairment test based on the triggering event, and that was basically what we described earlier. We are still developing the impact on the new business plans and on the countermeasures we put in place, and so that is an in-between statement during the year. I think we can come up with new figures end of the year, but more I cannot tell you now.
Then maybe two additional questions on this topic. You reported that the mail volume is lower than last year. Mm-hmm. Do you have a reason for that?
No, it's a general market trend in Germany. I think, I don't know if you followed the announcement of Deutsche Post. They announced that the general market volume in the relevant segment went down by almost 5% in Germany. There's a shift to other segments. But the relevant segment went down by almost 5%, and for us it's a little bit more than 4%.
Okay. And then just one question to the countermeasures you are initiating. Will we see some additional costs in the second half?
For sure there is some investment there, but we try to keep it as low as possible. Up to now, what we found out is that are the countermeasures we put in place are not really cost intensive, the short-term countermeasures, but it's more a matter of bringing IT people on board and putting these things in place. And the most of the support we have there, I pointed that out, is internal stuff from the headquarters, which supports locally. So there are no additional cost for consulting services or these things.
Okay, and then my very last question. Today there were some new news in the Netherlands that the regulator there allows the PostNL to raise prices by roughly 7% in 2018. Will there be a positive effect then in Q1 2018? Or for you?
There should be, since Thomas Grete is not here, I try to answer that question, but there is a rate change. There will be a rate change, and the rate change in the Netherlands, as far as the customer has to pay for that rate change, so we will have an effect on that, a positive effect.
Okay, thanks. Many thanks.
If this really comes, so they just announced it, so they'll now have to put it in place. But always in some countries like the Netherlands, when there is a rate change, we have a positive impact in the services.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question comes from Mr. Thomas Hoffmann, Landesbank Baden-Württemberg. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning. Two questions still left. One question is regarding your interest income. It's in Q2 you had a jump to 0.6 million euros. The question is that what can we expect for the upcoming two quarters, and what is the reason behind this very good interest income? The second question is regarding to the irregularities you had in the mail service business. What can we expect there in the future? Was it easy to solve this problem, these irregularities, or is there still some work to do in the upcoming months?
Well, probably I start with the mail service question.
Yep.
Basically what we have considered is a 0.5 million euros in the provisions we see there we have an additional 0.6 million put on risk, but we see that is currently what we see from our current perspective, that's the maximum. It will be quite easy for us, so the first analysis we did and the level of automation we want to increase, it will be quite easy to implement these processes. We have already put a lot of double-check procedures in place, so that cannot happen anymore. We know already from our partners that the processes are working now much more stable and the quality is much better than it was in the beginning of the year. So all the short-term countermeasures we have put in place are working already, and we will have introduced some other countermeasures in the next 2 months. Especially when we talk about IT integration services, I'm sure already today that we have put enough countermeasures in place that these irregularities will not happen anymore.
Thank you.
The second question concerning the interest income, Rüdiger Günther speaking here. We have two nice developments there. One is one effect which we had last year also from UK. We have some tax settlements, and from these tax settlements of Netherlands and Belgium, we received around 0.5 million additional interest income. The rest, 0.3 million, is deriving from our finance lease. As you know, we are more investing in these activities, so we have a positive effect of 0.3 million, which continues also for the rest of the year. One effect of the tax arrangement is, of course, not continuing for the rest of the year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
At the moment, there seem to be no further questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and star now. And we have a follow-up question from Mr. Thomas Schießler.
Yeah, may I ask two questions on your major foreign countries? The U.S., you increased the market share of 6.5%. What had been the drivers for this nice improvement? Is it more dealers, or is it more dealers and better product, or is it none of it? The other question is on France. Could you shed a little bit light on your further measures you will take to improve the market share there? An overall question. Will mail service be still a part of your DNA of the business you will conduct after this irregularities and the very poor margin you are earning? Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Schissel, for your questions. We can't, please understand, we can't go into too much detail because competition is, of course, nervous there. But we are using, as in part of our X strategy, we have several actions in mind and implementing, and dealer is of course one very important source, but we have also a different sales channel in mind, which we are enforcing. We are increasing our marketing activities. There is a bundle of things, our brand image. There are some really a bundle of things. The same refers to France. And as I mentioned at the beginning of our discussion, the introduction of a post-base is really very, very well received in the market. This is a very, very nice machine, very smart, and is very well welcomed by our customers. So it's not one, but they are a bundle of activities which we have included in the act strategy. Of course, also the sales force, which I said, which is increased and improved. Let me hand over to Sven.
Yeah, Mr. Schiesser, regarding mail service, we see that still as part of our DNA. As we described in the strategy and following the customer journey, we still see that logistics and mail logistics are important for our customers, and it's that we have the decentralized branches in all over Germany, which gives us some advantage when we talk about inbound services. So we see that still as part of our DNA, and now we have to work hard, and we will work hard on improving profitability and make it more efficient. And then we see that there is still a future for mail service inside the FP group.
How quick will this improvement in profitability take place? Is this a question on months or of quarters?
No, what I told you earlier is that there are some countermeasures which will be quick wins, which we can implement in the next weeks and months, and there will be some other major measurements which take a little bit longer. There will be also, I expect that there will be some changes in the market next year. Will be also probably some opportunities for us. So we see that we will now focus on the next quarter to implement most of the initiatives, and then we put in our continuous improvement procedures so that we have a continuous improvement process in the future there, and continue monitor our efficiency and bring in countermeasures into place.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
There are no further questions.
Okay, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We will end up with the conference, and we wish you all a very nice day. Thank you for your participation. Goodbye.
Thank you for your questions. Bye-bye.